In the name of Jesus, amen. I give you the Easter greeting. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Easter is not just a day. It is the reality in which we live, in which we die, in which we are resurrected. Jesus is Lord. I have to tell you, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, nobody said to me, and I was glad, wouldn't it be great if church were this full every Sunday? Nobody said that to me. Every year, almost at least one person says it to me. Nobody said it to me this past Sunday, and I'm glad. I'm glad because that can it can rob us of the blessings we have right now. It can rob us of our thankfulness. It's not helpful for Christians to live in a world of, wouldn't it be great if, fill in the blank. It's not helpful. Of course it'd be great if the church were full every Sunday. It'd be great if we had a retractable roof. You know, we could open up when the weather was nice. It'd be great if we had six people lined up to play the organ. But we don't. We don't have any of those things. We have to be where we are, and we find joy in that. It's the weekend after Easter. Jesus is still risen. He is still Lord. His promises still never fail. May the Lord bless the speaking and hearing of His word this morning. In the New Testament, we have two letters written by Peter, and they are creatively titled 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Peter was perhaps the most prominent of the disciples. When the disciples are listed in the New Testament, Peter is always listed first. We know that he was married. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. We know he was a fisherman. We know he had a brother named Andrew who was also a fisherman and a disciple of Jesus. Peter was the disciple who walked on water at the invitation of our Lord. Took a few steps, and then he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink, and Jesus rescued him. Peter could be brave. He was the one who, when Jesus was about to be arrested, he cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. He was a fisherman, not a swordsman. But Peter could also be cowardly. That same evening, just a few hours later, he denied his Lord three times, even after he told Jesus he would die with him. And so Peter was and is, like the rest of us, kind of a mixed bag of combination of traits and characteristics. On Easter Sunday morning, when Peter heard that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, he raced out there to see it along with John. But it wasn't until Sunday night that Jesus appears to Peter and the other disciples. And for the next 40 days, Peter would see the resurrected Jesus a number of times, even had some meals with him. Eating with the resurrected Savior would have been amazing. So Peter knew that Jesus was physically, bodily, alive and resurrected. And that truth is woven throughout his preaching, his teaching, is woven throughout his two letters. The two letters, 1 and 2 Peter, were written somewhere about 25 to 30 years after the event of the resurrection. Christianity had started to spread. In fact, some people were already suffering for being Christians, were being driven from the places where they were living. And so Peter writes these two letters to encourage them. Most of them he would not have known personally. And so what he writes would apply to us as well as to them. He writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The God of the Bible is a God of mercy. We know that. That's why He sends Jesus. And He gives us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. Death has power. There's no doubt about that. But it does not have ultimate power. Ultimate power belongs to Jesus. The followers of Jesus, yes, they still experience physical death, Peter did, you will, I will, but that's not the end of the story, because we have been given a living hope. Christians grieve, Christians have sorrow, but we are never without hope. We are never hopeless, because we have been given a living hope in Christ. And so even when we grieve, we don't grieve as people that are hopeless. And that living hope cannot be destroyed. You can choose to ignore it. You can choose not to believe in it. But it cannot be destroyed. It can't be taken from you. You can give it away, but it can't be taken from you. Physically speaking, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? You die. They really can't do anything to you after you're dead. Jesus died, as he said he would, and he came back to life, as he said he would. And so he's taken the worst that Satan could throw at him. He outweakens weakness, he outlowers lowliness, he outdies death. He takes it all. And so when you take the worst your enemy can throw at you, and then you emerge unharmed, you are the victor. You are baptized into that truth in Christ. And God guards you in that. Peter writes, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God not only gives you faith, but he guards your faith. So when you think, well, what happens if I get Alzheimer's? What happens if I get dementia? What happens if I lose my mind? God guards what he gives you. He not only gives it, he guards it. Paul issues that same reminder. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And our Savior himself said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So Peter would remind us of those wonderful truths. And he does that because we have difficulties. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you may have been grieved by various trials. Being a Christian doesn't give you a pass on the hardships of life. Life is hard, and it's hard for everybody. There are sorrows, there are frustrations, there are aches and pains, there are the difficulties of body and soul, and there's death. In fact, the Bible says we must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. But Christians know that in the midst of all those things, God is at work. There is a purpose in that. In fact, Peter puts it this way, these trials have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Your faith is of greater worth than gold. Got to sit in that for a moment. That's valuable. You might say, oh, I'd rather have the gold. No, your faith is worth more than that. I looked the other day, gold is trading at about $4,700 an ounce. Super valuable. In comparison, silver is going for about $75 an ounce. Your faith is more valuable than gold. We don't think of it that way. We don't think of it that way. I don't have anything gold. I don't have any gold fillings. I don't have any gold jewelry. I don't have any gold coins. If you do, don't be telling people about that, because somebody will break into your house and take it. But I do, and you also have something even more valuable than gold. You have faith in Jesus. But how often do we think of it that way? You know, if somebody were to ask you, you know, what are the three most important things in your life? You might say, family, my health, my friends, and you know, faith may not even make the top five. We just don't think of it that way. And so Peter needs to remind us, your faith is more valuable than gold, and nobody can steal it from you. Nobody can take it from you, and God is going to guard that. Ask God to help you remember how valuable your faith is. Ask Him to help you with that. Because, you know, we get our values mixed up. You know, we value things that really aren't valuable, things that are valuable. We think, it's not that important. And we get things kind of out of whack and out of priority. And the Word of God helps us with that. We have been given something more valuable than gold, faith in Christ, as a gift. And that truth is found woven throughout Scripture. And that helps remind us that we have something that can never be taken away from us, cannot be stolen from us, and not even death kills it. Faith takes us all the way through life, all the way through death, all the way to eternity. Peter reminds us, though you have not seen Jesus, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, and that would be us as well, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's yours. That's yours. Freely in Christ, by His grace and by His mercy. Rejoice in that gift. And let the Lord remind you how valuable it is what you have been given in Jesus. To Him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.